Austin. Solo Zoe. Just turn around, Shaughnessy. Don't come in today. You got me for 4 hours. Worst nightmare. I'm kidding. Beatles here. I'll just tap dance until Beatle gets all set. Fred, get out of the way with your stupid face. You're not on TV anymore. Run, yeah. Where's that
you see a big shadow. You're going to come this way,
you know
Fred.
Like?
You're going to come this way a little bit to do it.
Fred, come back here towards the front. Turn sideways when I used to have that nice sideways shot of your gooter, your chicken neck. Fred ended up looking at the GoPro video.
Wrong time of year for that.
I gotta lose weight.
What's up, Zoe?
What's going on?
How
good
we
morning.
Doing
great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Can we get to yesterday real quick?
Yeah, what do you need?
Had a little discussion with the QB about our boy Stedman Graham.
You want to? No, don't reveal this now.
No.
We scheduled it.
Oh, we did?
Yeah, we got a little something to get to on this at 10:36.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
I want you to.
Hell of a good dipshoot.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know, give it the old tease in the biz, you know?
Yeah.
So at 10:36, Zoe will tell us about his sit down with Tom.
We actually have some audio.
And we'll have audio today.
Yeah, the first half of that. Yeah.
A little sit down yesterday with the Coy QB.
Did you get a new spray tan?
I get new spray tan.
Like a fresh spray tan?
Like a little bronzer?
Yeah.
No, I put on a little bronzer before
the
interview yesterday.
Okay. Yeah.
Why?
You look good. You look like you've been...
I feel fresh. You know what? Thanks to our fans at the stadium sending me the Rockingham Park throwback sweatshirts. It's pretty cool. So if you want me to wear anything on TV, just send it to me.
Just as long... If it's free, it's for me.
No. Hey, there's no... That says I can't wear anything. Yeah. Mm.
There you go again, drawing attention to that. Yeah, anyway, yeah. You feeling any better about the Celtics today?
Remember when Tanguay had to wear those stupid T-shirts under like a suit?
T-shirt Tuesday?
Remember how dumb that was? You people at NBC ever try to do that to me, it'll never happen. It will never happen. Unless there's a price.
But if you, give him a shirt promoting new replacement windows, he'll be all
absolutely.
Over.
I'll have my new pro shirt on tomorrow.
Did we see a response from the Celtics last night? Feels like we did. Feels like we got a response.
They were favored big in that game. It was an odd spot. We did the little gambling update that we do. What was that, 10-15?
It was like 13-point favorite, right?
Yeah,
is that what
but
it was?
It's like, ooh, we all look at
it. Was a lot. It was,
yeah.
It was,
we all
it was
looked,
a,
it's like, whoa.
Yeah.
Is that big for, that's pretty big. I think people expected them to respond. Right?
It's a bad team, so that's what you do. You beat up on a bad team,
yeah, but you never know.
And you take advantage of that at home, and you try and use that to sort of
look at the Patriots.
Build
some
momentum.
Yeah, that's what you worry about.
Listen, the Celtics are at a point where you take anything that's good.
Jesus,
I think they are. Right now, you take anything that's good.
I expect,
and you hold on to it tightly, and you say this is the start of something. You have to if you're them right now, right?
Yeah.
With everything that's gone on. To go back to what we talked about yesterday, though, Kyrie Irving and Marcus Smart and all the comments that were being made between Sunday night's loss in Portland and last night's game at home against the Bulls. Why don't we go back to what Chris Forsberg said on NBC Sports Boston about how that all sort of played out the other night in Portland?
He was agitated. Like, he could not understand why this team was struggling the way it was throughout this road trip. And by the time it got to Portland and they failed to come back, even though they erased that 21-point deficit, they can't get over the hump, you could tell he was just, like, stewing. And so in the locker room, Brad comes in. He tries to say, hey, like, you know, guys, you're showing some good resiliency, but, you know, we're going to figure this thing out. And as soon as Brad clears out, Marcus is like, I've got something to say. And he goes off. But that's good. They needed to hear that.
That's Marcus Smart the whole way through. He had some sort of frustration building. Brad says his piece, and then Marcus Smart unloaded on everybody. He let everybody have it. He expressed his anger, frustration, whatever you want to call it.
Is this the year he matures? Like, meaning everything? As a player?
I don't know. He's got
coach talked to us yesterday about it.
He's got 52 mil.
He got a new record.
He's got a new song that dropped.
You know, but part of that problem is street cred. When you drop a track like 52 mil.
Yeah.
Like, when I was hanging out with 50 Cent.
Right.
How many times did he get shot?
Nine times.
There's that movie, Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Grace, how many times was Ferris out? Nine times.
Yeah, nine times he got
What's
shot.
What's different when you get shot nine times as opposed to missing school nine times?
How are we bringing this home? How are we landing this plane?
Like, you want to say, hey, Marcus is maturing, but you want to draw some more attention to the record. You like be a little have some issues.
Well,
you know?
To recap what we talked about yesterday, we thought that maybe there's some sort of issue between Kyrie Irving and Marcus Smart, because Kyrie Irving that same night is not exploding on the team. He's not letting everybody, you know, sort of hear it. He instead goes to the media and says, we've got to bring in a 15-year vet. To which the rest of us look at that and say, what do you mean? Isn't this your team, Kyrie? I thought this was your team. What? Are they? You're either bad at leading and you're not getting through to these guys, right? They just don't want to listen to you, or you just don't want to do it. It's one of the two. It doesn't reflect well on him when he says that. Last night, Kyrie Irving spoke again, sort of following up on those comments. Now, we get Kyrie after a win.
I think I was speaking on in general for where we are as a team in terms of what we have in here as a group. And I was speaking to, you know, the responsibility that's put on me as well as Al, as well as Mook and Gordon to be the leaders of this team. And we're all relatively young as well. Al's the oldest out of all of us, but, you know, he's 13 years in, 12 years in. I think I was speaking
Mook.
Just in general is obviously there's a lot of trade movement going on in the league as usual around this, you know, around this time. But I wasn't speaking to anyone specific. I just was speaking to, you know, maybe like a, you know, vet that's been through a championship run, a few championship runs, that's able to be patient with this team as well as understand what we're going through of just figuring out the pieces and how they mesh well together. That's all.
Mook is Marcus Morris.
Gotcha. Once you, yeah.
So he doesn't. Yeah.
Doubles down like, on what he said.
I feel like he wants to back off, but doesn't, and
yeah,
then
he
doubles down.
I thought he doubled down on it. Yeah. Speaking in general as to what this team is.
But then
I
he
told
named,
you
how
is.
Many guys did he name there? He named himself. He named Al Horford. Mm-hmm. He named Gordon Hayward. He named Marcus Morris.
Yeah. See, maybe I didn't name enough
guys. How many guys
night?
Is he going to name there? Oh, well, you what? Like, it's too much responsibility for all five of us to be trying to lead this team. You just named half the roster.
Yeah.
There's one guy with a tradable contract he didn't mention.
Who's that?
That could get a 15-year vet and back in
who's,
return.
Who's that?
Roser?
Marcus
Roser.
Smart.
Oh, Marcus Smart. Interesting. So he names all of the guys that are veterans on the team, yet fails to name, when it comes to leadership, the only guy who ripped into the team, as far as we know, on Sunday night, and the longest tenured Celtic, the guy who's been wearing green longer than anybody on the roster. Not like that's some sort of great achievement, considering they're all relatively new, but he never once mentions Marcus Smart in mentioning half the damn team. You know, all this leadership ability that fall to what? All these guys that are not leading at the current moment? Like, is that who out of that group is actually leading right now? Is Al Horford? I have no idea. I assume he is. But it's just interesting that he names all those guys and doesn't name the guy that had the meltdown Sunday night in Portland. Who told everyone to get their ass in gear? Who told everybody they got to start playing for their coach? Right?
Which is why I think Kyrie said, we need someone that can show us the way that has a championship pedigree.
Because he doesn't want Marcus Smart to lead the team because he, what, plays? Because Marcus Smart is sort of a guy that is respected by the coach. I know that every time we talk to Brad Stevens speaks very highly of Marcus Smart, including yesterday's interview. We had the moment in yesterday's interview where, again, Brad Stevens spoke highly of Marcus Smart. He always has. He's always spoken highly of that player. He thinks a lot of that player. So what? Kyrie doesn't like that? Because then what? It's not Kyrie's team if Marcus Smart lights everybody up? That Marcus is younger than him, so that's not going to work? Marcus Smart actually plays and gets meaningful minutes, so that's not going to... What is it? Why is it that he's got this issue with Marcus Smart doing what he did on Sunday night? There's something there. There's something weird there between these two.
There's enough there to pay attention going forward. It might not be an issue, but there's enough there to pay attention moving forward to
see. Yes. Sunday night, Marcus Smart blows up. And what's the response? Kyrie says we got to bring in somebody else who can lead. Then it goes public. And what does he say? He says, well, there's a lot of guys leading here, and it's a lot to handle between, let me name all the guys who I think are the leaders, and then not naming Marcus Smart. Those are two weird things that have happened in the course of 4 days with these two guys involved. That is weird.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
But I do feel better about the Celtics winning last night. I do feel better about that. Even
there's
if
one.
They are beaten up on a bad team at home.
Yeah.
Good. Good. I'm glad. Those are the type of, you know, what would ordinarily be a meaningless win can turn into meaningful wins because
going.
They've just been so, you know, wretched for them. You know, they've just played so far below what they should be.
Hopefully we'll feel the same way when the Jets lose to the Patriots next week. That's a great win for the Patriots to get them going.
617-779-0985, the telephone number. You want to jump on board? Feel free. Celtics get a win last night. And what is the deal between Kyrie and Marcus Smart? If you want to talk about that, feel free. We've got Dan Shaughnessy coming up at 11 a.m. today. We'll get to all kinds of good things with him. We'll talk to Zoe about Tom Brady's sit-down at 10:36. Don't go anywhere. We're off to a start here on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Sometimes defensively, you would think it's like, you know, two Marcus Smarts out there. I just think that sometimes I was playing Dr. J. God, is it two guys just went by me?
I'm sorry. Did Marcus Smart just get a comp to Dr. J? Did the Celtics broadcasters just do
was
it
that
again?
Tommy?
No.
I know. It
sometimes
Tommy.
Defensively, you would think it's like, you know, two Marcus Smarts out there. I just think that sometimes I was playing Dr. J.
Marcus Smart, Dr. J.
Okay, so wait a minute, though. At least that guy played against Dr. J, so you're comparing him to Dr. J. But, I mean, yeah, I guess go back to Tommy's days and who he played against. This usually happens. This is why I always preface something where I'll make a comparison, say, to Randy Moss. I'm like, no, I got to clarify. Like, I am not comparing this guy to Randy Moss. Okay, so don't even do it, even though there's a Moss characteristic here. There was nothing there. I was like, man, that's like comparing him to Dr. J. Julius Erving.
Greg Steemsma. Russell.
Steemsma. Where's he at now?
Kelly Olynyk.
This kid has got the same timing as Bill Russell.
Steemsma is Russell.
Prefaced with nothing.
Oh, he's just like Russell. Marcus Smart, just like Dr. J.
Ooh, that Avery Bradley.
At least Marcus Smart's a good player. Like, Greg Steemsma sucks. Come on.
Avery Bradley. This kid has got the same timing as Bill Russell.
Avery Bradley, untradeable.
Jordan.
Untouchable.
Avery Bradley was Jordan.
You know who used to do stuff like this from behind? Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
That's you, NBC Sports. That's you.
Two Marcus Smarts out there. I just think that sometimes I was playing Dr. J.
Dr. J. Julius. Himself, yeah. In the building.
It's like when Coach night. Used to talk about Troy Brown. Wish we had 11 Troy Browns out there. It's like, imagine if we had 5 Marcus Smarts. Man, look at all those Marcus Smarts running around crazy. Would you rather
this
play?
This 7-footer has got point guard skills, dribbling, passing, and very fast. That's why I say at 7 feet, he comes in with more skills than the whiskey.
Dirk. Yeah. Kelly Olynyk was Dirk.
Well, more skills.
That's good looking.
More skilled than Dirk.
Looks weren't there. I mean,
probably will end up being better than Dirk.
Do you know how many people dug my Rocky Dennis comparisons from the movie Mask with Kelly Olynyk?
I don't know how many.
I get a lot of compliments in the emails,
really,
and Twitter. Yeah,
really.
Like, wow, you nailed it, dude. He scared Kevin Durant away. Like, you made him walk down. Turn around. Who brought the freak? Don't. Put him back on the plane.
Dirk. Marcus Bailey. Smart.
Who's that?
Dr. J. Same guy.
You dummies.
Same guy.
I just think that sometimes I was playing Dr. J.
Really?
How is it? Two guys just went by me?
Maybe he was just seeing double.
617-779-0985. Bob's in Draken. Hey, Bob. God.
Yeah, I got some suggestion for Kyrie Irving. He can shut up or he can get out of town, all right?
Yeah.
He's not green. I'm a green teamer, I admit it. But he's not green. There's one thing you got
to
be.
So he's not a Celtic
elite,
to you.
You got
to
be likable. If you're not likable, get out of town.
Who do you want instead?
Would
you
rather a little strong, Bob?
Go get Avery Bradley back?
Bob.
Yeah, trade him with New Orleans. There's a good guy down there.
Okay, so trade Kyrie for Anthony Davis is what he's saying.
Well, he'd instantaneously be a Celtic then. People.
According to Bob and Draken,
Anthony Davis would buy right.
According to Bob and Draken, he would be. Sean is in the car. What's up, Sean?
All right, Fidel, how long has Marcus Morris been in the league?
I don't know. A while. Why?
7 years. Kyrie?
Yeah. About the same?
Yeah, 8.
7 years. All right, Gordon Hayward?
About the same.
I think it's 8 for him, isn't it?
Eight years, right?
Yep.
Keep going.
Al Horford, I don't know, what's that, 12, 13, whatever?
Yeah, over a decade.
Yep, but they don't view him that way.
When Kyrie makes that list and doesn't include Marcus, he's not including Marcus because he's not a leader, because he's not a veteran. That's not a shot at Marcus. If anything, that's a shot at Al Horford for not being that guy. And
okay.
A shot a little bit at Brad Stevens right now for not having this team in the right direction early.
I agree
on
with that.
But I think it's all going to work out. And,
I don't agree with the Brad Stevens part of it. I think he understands Brad's a good coach, but I'll buy you on the Horford stuff. Like, you know, Horford was the first piece that had to fall to get these other guys to come here. But then you get here and you play with the guy and you realize, okay, you know, we have to be convinced that he does all the little things well. Like, that gets beaten down into us. Instead of just watching that play, this guy's great.
I think that's a stretch even for the two to six guys to say that that's a knock at Marcus Smart because he didn't include him on that list.
Okay, but you do know that
he's listing the team veterans. He's not listing the leaders.
But he's the guy who flipped out after that game. He's the guy who ranted at the rest of the team in the locker room after that game.
You know, 2 interviews in 1 week, he specifically did not name him.
And 10 minutes after that happened, and we'll say 10, 20 minutes, somewhere in there, he's telling the media, we got to go out and get somebody who can lead. So he is not respecting whatever leadership Marcus Smart is providing.
Maybe it sounds like
Marcus Smart is the only guy providing any leadership in there right now. And maybe you're right. Maybe it's more of a dig at the older guys. Maybe it's a dig at Al Horford. You know what I would say to Kyrie Irving still after all this? You wanted out of Cleveland because you wanted your own team.
Make it yours.
And you are the best player on this team, and you wanted your own team.
Okay.
Take the thing by the reins and make it your team, big boy.
Well, then maybe he's telling you that, okay, I've been here now for a year, and now I don't like where this thing's heading with this Marcus Smart guy.
Here's Al Horford after the game last night.
Coming into the season, we were all, you know, expecting that we would just kind of just take over, and we're very dangerous, and I feel like we've been humbled a little bit. You know, we're in a position now that we have an opportunity to start building that, and we have to do it every night. And if we're able to do that, you know, we'll have a chance to be special, especially committing to the defensive end.
Okay. Sounds like even Al Horford bought in on this, doesn't it?
Okay.
He doesn't exclude himself.
No, he doesn't, but he's telling you there that we all just thought we were going to show up and play. And we were going to win. We were just going to show up and win.
Not bad. That's a bad sign.
But that's a bad sign to him because you're supposed to be one of the veteran leaders. Then why did you let it infect the young guys? Like, that's one thing for a veteran. Because you've been through the league. You've been around it. You know, okay, these type of games do happen. When we show up, we got the better veterans. We're going to roll the ball out. And we're going to win. Then why are you letting Jaylen Brown do all this, you know, now the East goes through us? You know, the 5-ring stuff. 5-6 rings before I'm 28. Why are you letting him talk like that then? Grab him aside and pull him aside. How about we win one? How about one? Let's start with one. It just seems like they all read their press clippings all preseason, all summer, and they were just going to roll. There's one of the most veteran guys on the team, if not the most veteran guy. I know he hasn't been here forever, but he's been here long enough to understand that, wow, we can't do that. And he's telling you, we did that. That's scary.
Jeff in New Hampshire. What's up, Jeff?
What's going on?
Hi.
I feel like I can diagnose what's wrong with the Celtics immediately. The starting five, you got Kyrie Irving, who can't guard his own shadow. You got Gordon Hayward, who is an absolute fruit cup still on the defensive end. He might still be hurt. I don't know. Jaylen Brown, the self-proclaimed 5-time champion already, who's supposed to be our lockdown defender, but he doesn't want to play defense. He wants to shoot threes and do whatever. Then you got Tatum, who still doesn't know how to play defense yet. And then you got Al Horford. Versatile guy, good defender. But, I mean, you got to get Baines in the starting lineup. And you got to tell Baines, stop shooting threes every time you touch the ball, pal. Get in there, play defense, protect the rim, rebound. I mean, that's the issue. Or put somebody in the starting lineup that's willing to play some type of defense. Any good team is going to get out to a 20-point lead against them immediately if they're not hitting their shots. Because they don't show defense.
Everything Jeff talks about there is about guys not buying in. Everything you just talked about is guys not buying in and not doing what's in the best interest of the team.
We could rewind it to the preseason when we talked to the coach. Remember after he was pissed off when Baines and those guys got in? Who else? It was Baines and who's the other guy, Jim? The rim protector. Brad was all excited about. Yeah,
oh, Robert Williams.
We get in there. Yeah, we look different. We at least rebounded, protected the rim. We need a little more of that. It's almost like you could rewind to that time, and this is almost the same thing. Here's
every time we get a call people. Like that. By the way, Jim Mullins like told you.
Yep, Baines
told you.
Jim's been all big.
No, I think that Baines is buying in. I think they want him shooting threes. I think that's part of their strategy.
Part of their issues.
That one last week.
Part of their strategy.
I don't think Baines is just
issues?
Out there on his own shooting threes.
Oh,
I think
what about
he's
that
being
clanger
told.
At the top of the key, like 4 feet extended.
No, Jesus. I think he's being told to do that, though. Do you think Baines is just going to go rogue and start shooting?
No.
So do you think a guy like Baines is going to go rogue and just start shooting threes? No, they want him out there shooting threes.
Was that last year during the playoffs where he thought he was covered in the paint and like almost blew his knee out? That was last year during the playoffs, right? Against Philly.
What does that have to do with anything?
I don't know what that has to do with anything.
Because he's an inside the paint guy. That's the point. It's like that's his home. Like even when he feels he's not protected, okay, this is where I should
see,
be.
I think on defense he is. I don't think he is on offense.
Really?
I think they found that out about him, and that's why they want him out there shooting threes.
Justin is in Dorchester on Gordon Hayward. Hi, Justin.
What's up?
Hey, what's up, buddy?
How you doing?
I'm good. Hey, so I got one thing with you. I called before. Mm-hmm. You called me Matt from Framingham. This is Justin from Dorchester, Ashmont, Clubman Square, Madison Square.
Good. All right.
I just want to let you know that. So I'm going to call more.
Okay, real quick here. We used to have an intern by the name of Matt Framingham, and you sort of have his draw. And
That's cool, man. I live right near you guys, too. So, but here's my point.
Come
first
say
call,
hi.
That
sometime.
Last call was a retard. We won by 29.25.
Well,
we
don't use that term here.
We're off to a great start here on the phones. Hardy's going to get us the headlines when we come back.
I thought that call was going in a good direction.
We're going to talk about your interview with Tom Brady that you did yesterday, which we're going to hear a little bit of later
on in
the
chat.
Show. But really the important stuff, which is what did Tom Brady tell you off the interview, outside of the taping, about Stedman? We'll do that coming up right after this.
Oh boy. Sports Hub Headlines.
Bruins lost to the Avalanche in Colorado last night, 6-3, and lost to Dano Chara in the first period to what looked like a lower body injury, maybe a knee. Coach Bruce Cassidy after the game.
It's a lower body. I don't have much. I don't know. I assume that they'll have to. I didn't get a really report. All they told me was he was out for the rest of the night, and usually that takes a day to get looked at, whether that's in Dallas or he has to go home. I have no idea, but I'm sure we'll have more news on it tomorrow.
And we'll have more news coming up today, I'm sure, as the Bruins now travel to Dallas, as Coach just said, play the Stars tomorrow night. Celtics over the Bulls last night at the Garden, 111-82. They stay home. Tough test against the Raptors tomorrow night. Red Sox and manager Alex Cora agreed to terms on a new contract. It includes a one-year extension through the 2021 season with a club option the following year. Also, just in this morning, the Red Sox have announced that ticket prices for next season will go up. They will increase by an average of 2.5%.
It's your workday made tolerable.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, why not us?
Zolak and Bertrand.
Buckle your chin strap.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hamilton, I love Hamilton. It's my third time seeing it, so yeah, it's a great show. Anyone who's here should go see it. It's great in New York. It was actually really good last night. I loved it.
It's a great issue.
No, though I did tell my wife one day I would love to just be on that show for, I don't know, a week, but I would need a lot of practice. Yeah.
Hardy almost just spit out his coffee.
Oh, my God. Every time
you almost just spit out your coffee. You almost did it. I was waiting for it.
Sir, I'm Alexander Hamilton. I'm at your service, sir. I have been looking for you.
You almost spit out your coffee.
Sir, I heard your name at Princeton. I was seeking...
You know how bad I want to punch a wall right now?
Seriously, that's a great thing. This is cringe-inducing. I can't believe being told this and love it.
I love it. I want to see it three times. See, what I do, I
he's seen it three times. He loves it.
You couldn't get me to sit down.
Hey, Beetle. You know what's good about it? Is what? It's, you know, modern music, but you learn something, too.
I haven't seen it, so I won't comment on it, Hardy.
You just heard some of it.
You know what?
1776.
You know what? You know what Chic and Nouveau? 1776. You know what Chic and Nouveau is to say that you dig it. That's like, it's like cool now. Like, hey, man, I'm hip. I went to it.
No. You don't go three times unless genuinely like it.
Give me some edibles. Let me go to Blue Man Group. You want to do something? Now we'll do that, you know?
I like Blue Man.
I've seen Blue Man.
Boom.
It's entertaining.
Whoa, look at that. There's a group up in the air.
Here's the thing about Hamilton.
Look at that stuff floating.
I can't afford to go see Hamilton right now. Can you? How much are the price of those tickets? Hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Well, how much? I mean, are you talking 200 or 500?
It's somewhere in that range.
I want to
per seat.
You know what I want to do? I want to see Lion King.
Of course Brady can go see Hamilton right now. It's Tom Brady. He can go see whatever he wants. He loves it. He loves Hamilton.
He probably wants the outfit of the head dude.
At some point in my life, I started having a problem with musicals.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
At some point I started getting more embarrassed for the people on stage than anything else. Up there, just, you know, the heart and soul. And Fred Toucher said this a long time ago. Musicals, especially at the lower levels, they're more for the people on stage than they are for the audience. You know? It's for me to get up here and do my thing.
Andy from the Office.
Yes!
Michael.
That's a lot of Andy's from the Office. Now, Hamilton, I'm sure people love it, and I'm sure it's a wonderful performance, a great production.
Knock yourself out, paint each other
out. I still think, even at that level, if something is celebrated and is critically acclaimed as Hamilton, at some point during that show, I would feel embarrassed for the people on stage. Just that one part.
Maybe during that song.
We're going to take back to where we signed the Declaration of Independence.
You forget most of what you learned, world.
Yeah, well, that way you can relearn it. What did Brady have to say about Stedman Graham yesterday, Zoe? You had a big, long sit down with him.
We talk a little bit before we get going.
How long do you talk before the cameras are rolling?
I was a bullet flying at work, so end of the world. You hit the cliff, pal. Yeah, you look like dog doo-doo.
Stop. I don't even understand what you're saying. You sit down with Tom Brady.
We sit down. They might.
I'd like to have that as my takeaway. We'll try and decode what the hell Zoe just said.
They get to mic us up, and he's like, I was work, so I was the bullets flying at work. What, the end of the world?
World.
With us losing, and, you know, you mean.
So this
you,
is.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, you can't play anymore. You hit that cliff, man. You went right over. You're done.
Who's saying what to who?
Both of us saying it to each other, laughing.
Honest to God.
So I said, bottom line, I said, let's cut.
Great story.
Let's
who's talking about what.
I go, Stedman? He goes, huh? I said, Stedman Graham? He goes, oh, the interview was scratchy, huh? I go, yeah, I said, my man Jim, our producer, we heard your interview with Jim Gray, and we heard the word Stedman. And I said, there's only one person named Stedman. That's Stedman Graham. He's like, Zoe, you'd love him. Great guy. I said, no, I wouldn't. And I said, this is what happens. You get in these little groups. And he says, and I said, really, first of all, what's the deal with Jim Gray? Like, he said, I know Jim forever. He said, we belong to the same club. He named a club out west on California. They played a ton of golf together, and he established a relationship.
They were golf buddies.
Okay,
that's how it started.
He's like LeBron, safe. He goes, he's never going to clickbait me or looking for something to hammer me on. You know? So, I mean, I have a great relationship with Jim, and I trust Jim. I said, all right, get this Stedman thing. Is he like Stedman's buddy, and he hooked you up and all that? He said, well, I don't, like, I said, my producer ends up going down a wormhole, and we found all this public speaking stuff that Stedman does. He's like, oh, really? So right away.
He didn't know about the public speaking?
I don't think he knew about it.
See, the Stedman thing was just something like Stedman had said.
Caught him off guard.
We keep going.
Well, obviously he didn't. I mean, there's only 1,500 hits on the damn video.
Even Brady doesn't know about Stedman's speaking career.
I did video. My kid shaving my back with an electric razor on my back porch. I would get more hits than Stedman Graham gets on his thing if we put that on YouTube.
That's true.
I'd be good for 100.
Right. It's something you just can't stop watching. And we hope it gets windy and it all blows off tomorrow.
You know, you got to just believe in what you're doing. And our good friend Stedman always says, we keep going.
That sounds like product placement.
We keep going.
That tells me that, like,
it's an audience of two for Stedman.
They've been together somewhere recently, and that kind of popped up in my head. I don't think he's real aware of, like, everything Stedman does, but I think he doesn't hang out with Oprah and Stedman, obviously, a lot. I think it's, like, what, once or twice a year, and they had dinner?
Oprah's in town today. Is he going to hang out with her?
Ooh.
See, this is what I don't believe.
You know what?
I don't believe Brady says anything during that.
That's a good question. Like, that's a legitimate question.
Yes, I'm sure they're
in town
I'm
today.
Sure
is she going to connect with Tom?
Yes, and I don't believe that
Tom
Brady.
Go to his house.
He's not going anywhere.
Probably go to his house. He's home. He's not going anywhere,
right? He's here during the bye.
Yeah. So they're going to have dinner with Oprah and Stedman tonight.
Oprah swings through.
Which
I'd swing through.
It's okay, like.
I checked your house out. How about you check my house out?
What do you think Giselle's going to make?
Bundt cake? Bundt cake?
That's a good
Here's
one,
the question.
Jim.
What?
Say how, they do how, come over.
Okay.
What's the personal
Here's the question. How far, if Oprah goes over to Brady's house for dinner, how long after they leave the driveway, how long do they drive before they have to stop and get something to eat? I say they don't make it any further than the Shake Shack there at the at Chestnut Hill.
You know she's eating that. You know she. You know she's a ketchup dipper too. Like her hot fries, she's getting them a ketchup.
Mm.
Maybe a little mayonnaise, mix it up, put some pepper on there, spice it up. A
lot of condiments.
Here's the question of the day. Say her and Stedman
right
show
to the
up.
Shake Shack.
Ding dong.
Get the hell out of
here. Oh, hello, you two. Thanks for coming. Do you mind taking your shoes off over here?
Right.
Do they wear their shoes? Oprah do they keep shoes the shoes on in the house?
Brady can keep his shoes on in the house. It's everybody
we
else.
Saw that.
White Uggs.
Everybody else needs to take theirs off.
But him saying, you know, Jim, it's like our friend Stedman says, we keep going. To me, that if it's not product placement,
Jim made him slide it in, I think.
It's calculated. That wasn't like off the top of his head.
Right.
I think everything in those interviews, like we've said, even if they're even if they are
maybe
live,
he just had Stedman on the mind because he knows he's going to see Stedman this week.
Because of Jim, right. So all of a sudden, I'm doing another interview with Jim Gray.
I think everything's done for a reason with
so there is this grouping everything. Of select friends: Jim Gray, Oprah, you know, the TB12. It's Alex. We're all in this one mini universe. It's we're on a planetary plane. I mean, we are in a stratosphere where we survive in this bubble.
Yeah,
you know, and it's we don't shake hands, we fist pump because it's a germaphobe.
Okay,
yeah, that's all. This is in play,
sure.
man.
Sure.
So here you are. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm doing an interview with you. Chuckling a week. We're at the bye. Oh, bye week. That's right. Oprah and Stedman are coming. Just like our good friend Stedman says.
Yeah. What did
completely
you
unaware of the?
What did you finish this conversation world. With for Brady? What did you tell him?
Mm.
Can you say it? You told me off the air.
No.
You can say it.
Yeah.
It was funny. Everyone that who was there thought it was funny. He thought it was funny.
What'd you say?
Don't worry about it.
Come on. He ain't never gonna do another interview.
He just made a mention about, like, all you crazy rich people, like, all those weird things you do. And everyone laughed. Everyone had a good laugh.
Yeah. That's fun.
Yeah, no, it's funny. Like, yeah, he laughed at himself.
Another, man, you people on another planet, man. Where'd you get that money? Like, what, I'm think Tom Cruise is going to come walking through that door next.
That's funny.
That's funny. And he laughed. Did he laugh? Did he laugh? He laughed.
The reason...
He knows I'm breaking his
and
balls.
Yeah, exactly. And the reason why...
Well, I'm not telling you anything either. It's
no,
public
no.
Policy.
This is the reason he's why the we can do it, is because there's enough... normal stuff about him. Him putting on the hat and going to see Hamilton like a normal couple would do. You know, him going out to restaurants and movies and stuff. He does enough normal things to where, no, I don't think anybody believes that Tom Brady has gone full-blown Tom Cruise, you know, secret society, blah, blah, blah. He's still a guy around a bunch of other guys in the locker room every day, and he does enough normal stuff. But there are some things.
I do think that's the hardest part for him, though.
So that's why you can ask him. That's why you can bust his balls. If he were Tom Cruise, you couldn't handle it.
He
couldn't laugh it off.
But I mean,
there's a tiny bit of truth to it,
right?
Enough to where
he's got self-awareness about his rich people weirdness stuff.
He knows enough of the stuff he has to know. He knows where Oprah is. He knows where Stedman is. He may not know all the details of what Stedman does. He probably doesn't even know everything that Jim Gray does. But he knows Jim Gray works with LeBron. He had a decision. And I got to do these hits with Jim and Macy's. I'm sure Macy's is on them. And little things are always on the mind. His mind's always moving because of the demands on him and his time. But to what you said about, you know, hey, I gotta make an effort to do things to be normal. Nat, that's something like Brett Favre didn't do at the end. Like Brett Favre would take and dress separately from the rest of the team. Where you're a 40, 41 year old player that you can't blend with 20 year olds. I watch Brady interact and move with these guys. He is as one of those 22, 23 year olds as anybody I've ever seen. Mm. Like he makes, and that's work because they're a common interest. I'm talking about when they're at doing football stuff. Now,
okay,
not when you're going to Hamilton or.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Do they pose a threat?
98.5, the Sports Hub.
One, two,
let's get to the fantasy freak, Scott Grambling, who joins us to discuss our lineup for the week. That would be DraftKings scoring. How did we do last week?
We did well.
We did well.
We cashed. We were top 10% in the leagues that I joined. So, made a little bit of money. It was good.
This is sad. I don't even know if I won in my contest with that lineup or not. I have to check.
Freak out.
I won money with it.
Oh, I'm about to find out if you don't mind.
Yeah. Sean in Chicago wins money every week.
Don't mind. Yeah, no, we've heard that.
He's a big gambler.
Yeah?
No. He's waiting patiently right now. Like, what is the lineup?
All right, let's talk about this week's lineup.
All right. I'm taking go ahead, Beetle.
I was just going to say, this week, you know, I'm going with a high-priced guy because we've talked about this player before. We've talked about whether or not, going back 2 months, you know, would you take him ahead of any other receiver in the game for the rest of the season? That would be Michael Thomas of the New Orleans Saints. He's pricey, but I think he's going to produce because that's what he does. He week in, week out, he produces.
I like it. I really do. I think that Eagles defense is a mess. It's an absolute mess. They looked terrible on Sunday night against Dallas. And when you look at, Thomas is expensive. He's 8,800. Look at Julio Jones. Julio Jones is 8,500. How much better right now is Michael Thomas than Julio Jones? There should not be an only $300 spread there. So even though Thomas is the most expensive, there are several receivers, Tyreek Hill, Adam Thielen, Odell Beckham, Julio Jones, that are all over 8,000. So, you know, they're all in the same neighborhood there. I think it's a great pick. I really like it a lot. I think that, look, the Saints have been dropping numbers on everybody, and I don't see how they're not going to do it against the Eagles, especially with Darby getting injured late in that Cowboys game, and he's going to be out.
All right. I had a tough pick here. I ended up going with Keenan Allen because I think it is trending well for him. He's getting more targets out there with the Chargers. But Cooper Kupp goes down with that knee injury. He's out for the year, ACL. If Sean McVay could take a guy like Jared Goff and turn him into a freaking all-pro, that possession guy, whoever that next guy is in that Rams office, he's got offense. He's got to be dirt cheap. So I was going to take Cooper Kupp's replacement. I have no clue who it is.
Josh Reynolds.
So if you're looking for something cheap, I think, you know what? That guy could catch 10 balls and get a touchdown, but I'm going to take Keenan Allen.
Yeah, I like the Allen pick, Joe. I think it's, only 6,700.
Right.
And again, you kind of look at the comparable guys. So Tyler Boyd, I'm looking at, right? Tyler Boyd is 7,000. So he's $300 more than Keenan Allen. We've been riding Tyler Boyd a lot this season, but now he's overvalued and he's going up against that Baltimore defense. This Denver defense is not the Denver defense of a couple of years ago. And, I think it's a solid pick. It's 6,700. It's good value there, especially when you look at what else is available, in that range of 6,500 to 7,000.
All right. Who else do we have in this lineup? Who's the quarterback this weekend?
Well, I had to stack it with Breeze. I think when you have Thomas, you just have to go big there and try and get that the double whammy stuff. I mean, if Thomas gets you the 160 yards that he's capable of and Breeze gets you the 350, you're off and rolling there. Breeze, 6,500. And again, a lot of these quarterbacks kind of lump together, Wentz 6,300 and, Wentz certainly did well by us last week. Cam Newton 6,200, Ryan 61. So you're not spending that much more money for a guy like Breeze, who's having an MVP season. Running back is where I saved a little bit. To me, David Johnson in Arizona going against that weak Raiders defense, that defense seems to have given up. Going with David Johnson to 7,500 and pairing him with Alex Collins going against the Bengals. Bengals now have the last ranked defense in the league. They're just giving up a ton of yards and a ton of points. Only 4,400 on Alex Collins, which was comparable to like the Seahawks guys and a lot of Rod Smith is even more expensive than Alex Collins this week. So to me, I like Collins. I don't know what's going on with the quarterback situation there. I think regardless, I feel like this is a run-the-ball type game for Baltimore. Other receiver, Amari Cooper, he's only 5,400. I am not an Amari Cooper fan, but he's definitely got a big role in that Cowboys offense, and at only 5,400 going against that Falcons defense, I feel like Cooper can have kind of an 8, maybe 9 catch, close to 100-yard type game. Going with Jared Cook at the tight end position, going against the Cardinals, he was only 3,900. Maurice Harris is in the flex spot. Maurice Harris is the receiver who has been the most targeted guy on the Redskins the past couple weeks. He's got 15 catches over the past 2 weeks with the Jamison Crowder out. Chris Thompson, the receiving back out of the backfield, is out. The line is banged up, so I think more than ever it seems like the Redskins are going to the quick passing attack, and that's Harris in the slot. And then ended up going with the Jaguars D, going against Pittsburgh. Roethlisberger not nearly as good on the road as he has been at home. I don't love the Jacksonville pick, but like we talked about last week, you kind of form your lineup there. You see what you got left. You pick the best defense available for the money you have available. And the Jaguars are that team this week.
All right. So we have a lineup. And that doesn't leave us. So it leaves us with $100 left in remaining salary.
Yeah. Keep it. Can I need to point something out here, though. This lineup, you can play this lineup as a 10-game lineup. You don't have to play the entire schedule. So all these guys are playing Sunday afternoon, either early game or late game. And the key to that is you don't have to factor in that Monday night game. Because let's be honest. I mean, that Monday night game between the Chiefs and Rams, there could be 80 points scored in that game, and you could just get blown up. I highly recommend play the 10-game lineup. So you don't play the Thursday game, you don't play the Bears-Vikings Sunday night game, and you don't play the Chiefs-Rams Monday game. I think that's the way to go with this lineup.
Do they let you do a Monday night only lineup? Is that a possibility with only two teams playing?
I feel like they give you an option to go. No, I think they give you an option to go late game Sunday, so you get five games in. You get the 3-4 o'clock, the late game, and then Monday game.
Right. It's a short, because I was going to say, I think it's a minimum of four teams playing is what they've allowed before.
Right.
Like, you know, when you've got a wild card weekend set up, like in divisional round, they'll let you play each day, right? When you've got four teams playing two matchups. I think on the first opening night when they have two back-to-back games, they allow it then. But I think that's a minimum of four teams. All right, so we have our lineup.
Say, if ever there was a time to do a Monday night only, this is it. This would be going to be a lot of points.
Going to load up on those guys. All right, so Breeze, Johnson, Collins, Thomas, Allen, Cooper, Cook, Harris, and the Jaguars defense. Good stuff.
Yeah, I like it. I think it's a good one.
All right, see you, pal.
Appreciate the time.
See you guys. Thanks,
buddy.